morning, everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number to be on the show with me, questions, comments, complaints, whatever, is 1-866-444-3478. We talk about gardening. We talk about landscaping. Pest control, all from an organic viewpoint, that because it works better in every way. I didn't mention at the first hour that I mentioned that it was brought to you by Victor Pet Foods, but I forgot to mention that their website is something that I really recommend you go to because there's a lot of great dog pictures there, victordogfood.com. We've got something, Doris, I was talking to her off the air from the previous hour, and she said that she really liked the Dogs Happy in Australia, a little video that's on Facebook, and it's pretty cute. I just watched the whole thing myself, and the first time I was able to listen to the volume. And so y'all check it out. It's just a fun thing for you here on this Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day to everyone out there. Telephone number, we got an open line if you want to jump on real quick at 866-444-3478. Let's see, one thing that I was going to tell you about. Oh, yeah, the I haven't put the photos on there. I will at this next break, I promise, so you can go and look in, at the water feature and see what I'm talking about more. But we had a little mystery going on there. For a while, we were curious about frogs not having quite as much of a serenade at night. And all of a sudden, a couple of days ago, I noticed that I had some, at least two great big, over 3 feet, water snakes in the pond. And we were talking to Daryl. I think I brought it up for the first time last week, and we've noticed, I thought it was just one snake because of the snake skin, but now I've seen the snakes, and they are a pretty good size. And I noticed something kind of eerie in a way. Last year I had about 300 or more Gambusia, little mosquito-eating fish. Guess how many I have now? Not one. So the snakes are not hurting the big goldfish, which are now in the range and the size of, 6 to 8 inches long or so, pretty good size. And I put them in as little bitty, you know, inexpensive goldfish. And then our koi are big boys and girls. They weigh anywhere from, I don't know, probably 2 pounds up. They're big. And they haven't been bothered by the snakes at all, knock on wood. But we have no frogs and we have no Gambusia. So we're going to have to work on that a little bit. And I'll show you some photographs of the feature. I'll put them on Facebook for you here at this next break. And the number again is 866-444-3478. Here's Paul in Salina. Is that where you are, Paul?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Well, 3 years ago, I planted a Stella cherry tree, which is a grafted cherry tree.
Okay.
And did great for 2 years. Last fall, I had some leaves prematurely turn brown. About half of them did. And this spring, right before the last cold snap we got, I noticed some leaves getting ready to bud out, and they have stopped. Some of the smaller twigs, mainly at the top, are now snapping off, but the bark doesn't seem to, can't scratch the bark to check and see if it's green underneath.
Well, that doesn't mean a whole lot anyway. If you got things that are leaves and twigs that are turning brown and dying and all that, that indicates that the tree's in stress for some reason and there's something.
No. I have no leaves yet.
Oh, you have no leaves yet? Well, that's even worse. That's even worse. You probably just need to try something else, Paul. Cherry trees are not that well adapted. We got a terrible connection for some reason with you. Cherry trees can do fair as far as just being ornamental trees and enjoying the flowers, but as far as producing cherries, the Montmorency is about the only one that has ever been reported to do very well in this area. So I'd try some other fruit trees that probably are a little bit easier to grow. Did you have anything else? If there's no leaves on it, it's probably a goner. They ought to be leafed out well before now.
That's what I was afraid of. Well, in the past, it really has never, the past 2 years, it's never leafed out until around the 1st of May, which is why I wasn't concerned. So,
well, that's just another sign of stress. The trees ought to be flowering and leafing out long before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's one more task for the shovel.
Okay.
I do have another quick question. I have thousands of mounds that are probably about the size of a half a tennis ball. These mounds are made up of material, of the clay material, that looks to be each individual pellet of the clay material, if you will, is about the size of shrew scat. And they just make these piles. Is that worms?
Yeah, it's earthworm castings. And that's not a bad thing on the one hand. On the other hand, when you have a whole lot of earthworm castings showing up on the surface of the soil, and they look like you say, little soil BBs, a little smaller than BBs, I guess. But that's a sign that the earthworms are not very happy with the soil's oxygen content and friability, and they're coming up to the surface for oxygen, and they're coming up to the surface to, you know, one of nature's ways of trying to improve the soil. Are you new to listening to this organic approach?
I've been listening to you for 20-something years.
Okay, so you've been using organic fertilizers and everything?
Yes.
Okay.
And I aerate. As a matter of fact, I'm going to wait until this next week. I have an aerator. It's not the plug aerator. It's the, I don't know, I'm going to call it the shred kind, where it's got a lot of blades, where I roll it over the ground.
Okay. Well, what has happened there in this place? Is this kind of a low area that it's had water settling in it, or has it been compacted for some reason?
No, actually, the first place they showed up was on the I'm going to call it a hill. My lot was cut into a hill. I've got two retaining walls. I've talked to you several times before. And the high part above one of the retaining walls is where I've noticed them in the past. Now, this year, I've noticed them down in the main part of the yard, just off the patio and off the back of the house and off of where I'm currently building a fire pit.
Okay. Well, you've got things going the right direction. Don't get me wrong. It's just that when you're seeing a whole lot of them, it's a sign that the earthworms are still trying to help improve things, and so they are in your case. While you aerate and while the holes are open, put out the amendments that we recommend all the time, kind of a version of the sick tree treatment, and I think that you'll be fine. Get a little bit more adapted fruit tree and
recommendation on that?
Well, you can do a lot of different things. I'm still a big fan of jujube. I was looking at mine yesterday that I moved from the house to the experimental gardens at the office, and it is absolutely loaded with flowers. It's going to have a bumper crop of fruit this year, so that's an easy one to grow. A little harder for you to find. But
How big does that get?
Oh, they don't get huge. The biggest one that I've seen around Dallas-Fort Worth area is probably 25 feet tall, something like that.
And the fruit is?
Oh, it's a fruit that looks like a small prune, I guess, and about that color, and it tastes like a dried apple. It's not the most delicious fruit in the world, but it's good, but it has a lot of medicinal benefits. Regular pears are great. I'd try the things like pears and figs and jujube. Pomegranate is easy to grow and different. You know, some of those things would be good for you to get started there. And plums, the methylene plum being the easiest one of all, you ought to put it on your list and give it a try. I'm going to need to run and help some other people.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Appreciate your call, and give some of those things a try. Sherry's been holding forever. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dr. Garrett.
What's going on in Denton, Texas?
Well, you know, I put in two Carolina jessamines this week, and then I did a little reading, and I found out that they were poisonous to animals. And I have two little dogs, so I was real concerned about that. So, and I also read that it might be toxic to bees. Do you put any stock in that?
The toxicity to bees I don't worry about too much. And to be honest with you, I have Carolina Jessamine along the fence of part of our dog run, so that's how much I worry about it. The toxicity issue with Carolina Jessamine is the flower, and kids that mistake it for honeysuckle. You know, people show kids how to pull the reproductive parts out of the center of the flower and suck the honey that's in there. And if you do that with a Carolina Jessamine, some of the kids are allergic.
Okay, gardeners and farmers.
I'll be back right after this.
For 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of microbial products that help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, improve fertilizer and water efficiency, and help reduce diseases in crops. For growers, BioSI's stubble digester helps reduce crop residue and prepares your field for next season's growth. Apply it today on fields that have too much debris. BioSI's lawn and garden products are now available at Tractor Supply. So contact BioSI at 866-393-4786 or at BioSITechnology.com.
Let me tell you about a great new eco-friendly alternative to fish oil, Chia Omega. New from our friends at Essential Formulas, the Dr. O'Hara's probiotic folks. Chia Omega is an all-natural, plant-based omega-3 line of supplements made from chia seed oil, the richest and most sustainable natural source of ALA omega-3 on the planet, even more than fish or flax. So ask for Chia Omega at fine health food retailers starting this month and don't accept a substitute. Chia Omega, good for you and good for the planet.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health as well as landscaping, gardening, and pest control. And I'm making a change in my dog and cat food recommendations. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we have promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food that I feed my dogs now, and the pet food that you will hear me talking about on my radio show and DirtDoctor.com. The formulas that I will focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten, and they've been naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors. But they are loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, and prebiotics, along with other healthy ingredients. My dogs Carmen and Tater like the change, and I feel strongly that you will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store, and for information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on the Ask Howard button on our homepage. That's victordogfood.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. We talked a little bit more about the toxicity of Carolina jessamine off the air, and I'm going to do another quick check on a couple of things, but basically, if you don't get to the sweet stuff inside the flower, I don't think that there would be a lot of issue there. And I don't think people would be attracted to eating the flowers. But it is listed as, and it is, a potentially toxic flower for children especially that might be allergic to it. I've never heard too much about, I think it's on the list of being a problem for dogs, but I've never heard a report from anybody that we've been in contact with of it being an issue, and it's used all over the place in the South. So if anybody has any reports about it, by all means, give us a call and we'll talk about it more. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Deborah in Vernal, Utah, next up. Hello, Deborah.
Hello. I've been listening to your program here for a couple of months. And,
well, thank you.
Wow, thank you for all the information. Recently, I mixed up a batch of Garrett juice.
Okay.
And silly me, I used bottled molasses as opposed to the powder that you recommend. And I was wondering, to use that, am I doing damage to my plants?
No, the liquid is what you have to use for the Garrett juice mixture, Deborah. The dry molasses that I talk about all the time is not actually, you can't use it in a liquid because it's really not dry molasses. What it is liquid molasses sprayed onto some kind of an organic byproduct. And the one we use the most around these parts is soy. Little bits of soy, and so you get the fertilizer benefit of the soy and the molasses. But for the Garrett juice, for a liquid mixture that you're going to spray and drench around, liquid molasses is exactly the right thing to use.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the bottled stuff in the kitchen is just fine.
It's fine. The horticultural molasses, which we probably have around here and can find easier than you might be able to, is what we recommend because it's less expensive. The feed stores and farm stores have it as one of the ingredients in cattle feeds and things like that. So you might call around and see if anybody has it. And they'll tend to have it in larger containers that way, and so it'll save you quite a bit of money. If you buy the molasses at the grocery store, there's nothing wrong with that at all. It's just be a little bit more expensive.
Okay. Now, I'm getting ready to put a Mother's Day rose bush.
Okay.
And so to use the Garrett juice is absolutely wonderful in the planting of that.
Yeah, that's fine. It's a maintenance material, and it also can be put in the water and soak the roots and have the root ball sopping wet before it goes into the soil. I do that with bulbs and transplants and all kinds of things, and it's really, really worth the effort to do it.
Okay. I will do that. I just needed to get clarification on this molasses thing because I hope I didn't ruin things.
No, you can actually use any kind of sugar, but molasses is our favorite because it's so loaded with all kind of trace minerals and things like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, good luck with your garden.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, and the Rose Program is on the website under guides right there on the homepage, the Organic Rose Program. And besides helping with planting, the maintenance program of spraying the foliage with the Garrett juice on a regular basis is part of the Rose Program. And then if you have some disease issues pop up or insect issues pop up, you can add the organic pest control materials to the Garrett juice base. The Garrett juice helps the pest control products like hydrogen peroxide that we recommend for rose rosette and other diseases that are a little more uncommon. We've found that the Garrett juice mixed with the hydrogen peroxide or orange oil or soap or whatever you're using, it just helps it penetrate and work better and stay around longer to control the pest. Plus, you're getting the foliar feeding benefit out of it. Plus, if you get it on the soil, it helps to fertilize the soil and stimulate the biological activity there. So it's good all the way around. Open line for you at 866-444-3478. Here is Randy in Princeton. Princeton, what state, Randy?
Princeton, Texas. We're just east of McKinney up here.
Okay, great. What's up?
My mother has a pin oak, and it started yellowing last summer, and she had an arborist come out, and the arborist said it was probably because of her lawn service treating, you know, the grass underneath and everything. So she quit the lawn service treating around the tree, and, of course, we used some tree stakes and watered it real well and everything, trying to bring it back, and it was doing well, and it's doing it again this summer. The only question I have is it might have been her lawn service and, you know, lack of water from the drought, which we cured, but her neighbor, which is about 2 or 3 football fields away, has a pin oak, and it's doing the exact same thing.
What's your soil like there, Randy? Is it black?
Yeah, it's the black clay, Texas clay.
Okay. Well, I got bad news for you.
Yes, sir.
The pin oak has no chance there.
Uh-oh.
I mean, no chance, zero.
Well, it's a mature tree. It's a good 25 to 30 feet tall, and it's been here for a while now.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's going to be there for however long, much longer it's going to be there. It's going to be yellow, too. Can you hold on, and we'll talk about it in a little more detail?
Yes, sir.
Don't go away. I don't have real good news for you, but I can give you the whole story anyway. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
You know it's important to maintain healthy cholesterol levels, but did you know that keeping your blood pressure in a healthy range is just as important for good heart health? Without healthy circulation, oxygen and vital nutrients can't be delivered to your body, and elevated blood pressure can put stress on your veins and arteries, leading to serious heart conditions. But here's the good news. There are things you can do right now to encourage healthy blood pressure. One of the easiest is to take Kyolic aged garlic extract. A recent published clinical study suggests that taking Kyolic supports healthy blood pressure and can mean better circulation throughout your body. And now, Kyolic has created Formula 109, a unique supplement with other natural ingredients to help relax and support healthy blood pressure. Taking Kyolic Formula 109 every day as part of a heart-smart lifestyle is the easy, all-natural way to keep you in circulation. Available everywhere fine nutritional supplements are sold. Visit Kyolic.com or call 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample today. 1-800-421-2998. Have you had your Kyolic today?
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We were talking to Randy in Princeton about a pin oak tree. Randy, first of all, let's kind of work on the identification here. Is this tree, does it have a very straight central trunk and kind of a pointed top?
Yes, sir. It's a single trunk.
Okay, kind of a Christmas tree shape. Sounds like it really is pin oak. The one characteristic of pin oak that's the most important is if you look at the limbs, it'll have little bitty twigs all over the limbs. That's where the term pin comes from on pin oak.
Yes, it does.
Now, the people around the country that are listening to me that on this that are in acid, sandy soils, this is one of the best trees you can possibly have. It's a great red oak. It has beautiful fall color and all that. Randy, when it's planted in alkaline soils, it just doesn't have a prayer. And the fact that it's lived quite a while there means that they've babied it along and that sort of thing. But as you've already mentioned, it always has this chlorosis, which means a yellowing from lack of the trace minerals because of the soil imbalances for that tree able to be pulled up into the tree. You can continue to throw Texas green sand or any kind of green sand and various rock minerals and the Garrett juice soaked into the soil and the overall sick tree treatment. And it's always going to have that. It might live for some number of years, but it's always going to have that off color, and it's going to slowly get worse and worse.
Right.
So, you know, the best thing to do would be change to some other tree, but I realize y'all are invested in it being there for quite a while.
Yes, because because all the other trees on the property are just beautiful, and she has babied it over the years. And, yeah, like I said, I thought maybe it was maybe the lawn service with her chemicals and so forth, but when the neighbor's tree was doing the same thing.
No, yeah. It's just the genetics. Well, she doesn't have any pin oaks that are looking good, does she?
No, this is just the one tree.
Yeah. Well, you may want to cut your losses and make room for something else there, because it won't get better. It'll just get worse.
That's kind of what I told her, too. And if she wants one, she needs to move to South Carolina, I guess.
That's right, or East Texas.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. God bless you, and happy Mother's Day to all your family.
Same to you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Yeah, it grows in Oklahoma. It grows all over the place, and up in the Northeast. It's a great tree, except for in soils like we have here in North Texas, and there you can throw all the nutrients and all the minerals and all the acidifiers and everything else that you want at it. There's some friends of ours have some pin oaks at a residence near our office, and they knew about it before they bought the house, and they've tried to keep them around, but they're just yellow. I mean, simple as that. Let's see who's – by the way, I do have the of an overall picture of my water feature on Facebook now. Go to The Dirt Doctor, facebook.com, The Dirt Doctor, and I'll put the other shots of the four different waterfalls on there at the next break. I do have the overall shot on there that we talked about earlier in the show. Joe in Aledo, Texas, next. Hey, Joe.
Good morning. Got a problem, Howard. Planted a Bradford pear for my mom about 3 years ago, and it's doing well, except the squirrels like to eat on the bark now.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do to stop it?
Cut it down, plant a better tree. Unfortunately, Bradford pears, I hate to be negative about every tree that people are calling in about today, but Bradford pears just have built-in problems. The first thing I would do, Joe, to solve the squirrel eating it problem is look at the base. When you have an animal eating the bark, and I've experienced this with some of my own trees that I had too deep in the ground, the concentration of sugars is detectable by the animal, and the animal will come and eat trees that are specifically in stress. Sapsucker birds attack trees that are that way. Rodents, mice, rats, squirrels do the same thing. So the first thing you do to try to stop that is to get the soil off of the trunk flare and do it in a dramatic fashion, really have the flare, you know, greatly exposed. Now, that doesn't address the other built-in problems that Bradford pears have about that upright growth and the wind damage and storm damage and everything else, but it will stop the squirrels from eating the bark.
Okay. Now, on the bark that's already damaged, there's anything we can put on that bark?
Yeah, it's called tree trunk goop, and tree trunk goop is a mixture that we dreamed up that works very well. It's a mixture of basically three things: natural diatomaceous earth, compost, and soft rock phosphate. Add water, make a mud, and slather it on the wounds. It not only helps to prevent the damage from continuing, but it feeds the tree. It helps the callusing to form faster and heal better. You can, if you can't find the soft rock phosphate, you can use any kind of a powdered rock phosphate, or you can use fireplace ashes. So
okay.
It's compost, natural diatomaceous earth, and some kind of a phosphorus product, fireplace ashes, if you can't find anything else.
All right. I appreciate it, Howard. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. 866-444-3478 is the telephone number in, is it Myton, Utah?
Yeah.
Shorty's up. Hello, Shorty. I had an uncle named Shorty.
Well, I'm a really tall guy, and I got that nickname from a little really short Mexican on a trip down to Mexico one time, and it kind of stuck
with you, huh? Well, my uncle was short, and so his name was applied the other direction.
Well, I got a question. I got one question for you that I called in about, and then if you've got the inclination, another quick question. But my first question is, the area that I live in is kind of real crappy soil, and it's high alkaline content.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a flat of strawberries to plant. I have 18 plants, and I'm trying to get the best out of them that I can. And I caught your show on the radio and thought maybe you could help me. I'm trying to figure out how to best prepare the soil so these strawberries do the best and,
okay,
you know, produce the best.
So you haven't done any bed preparation yet at all?
Not yet, no.
What kind of soil do you have there?
It's a lot of, you know, just it's sandy, and it's out in the oil field of eastern Utah, and there's a lot of alkali in it.
Okay. Well, what we need to do, Shorty, is basically the same thing that I do here in the gardens in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Use compost or earthworm castings or some kind of organic fertilizer that has a lot of organic material in it. If it's a shredded tree trimmings, it's broken down really well. That kind of falls into the category of compost. That's the first thing we want to do. We want to build up the carbon, the organic matter in the soil. I do not recommend, since you're obviously a new listener, I do not recommend peat moss. Peat moss is antimicrobial. Compost is just 180 degrees from that. It builds the life in the soil, and that's the secret to really getting the soil productive. The second thing you want to do is rock minerals. Now, where you are there, you probably have a lot of rock minerals already in the soil, so it's not as important for you as we have here where all we've got is white limestone. You probably have some granite in the soil and things like that. If not, you can buy granite sands or some lava sand or azomite or something like that from the local nurseries and feed stores and farm stores and add that with your compost. The next thing to make production good with this very first crop is you want to add some kind of sugar. And the two we use the most here, the first one is dry molasses, and it can be bought from the feed stores and farm stores, and we put it out just like a organic fertilizer. And the next one is whole ground cornmeal. Whole ground cornmeal functions as a sugar because it breaks down very efficiently into sugar, and it also stimulates a beneficial organism in the soil called Trichoderma, which helps you with disease control. So you mix
we have plenty of that too, so that'd be good.
Yeah, mix the compost, the rock minerals, one of those sugars into the existing soil, plant away, and then with strawberries, do you have any pine trees in your area of any kind?
Not here so much. Around here, it's mostly Russian olive and then juniper.
Okay. Well, some kind of a mulch, the juniper foliage would work fine, but some kind of a fine mulch around the plant so that the fruit goes up when it falls over and it doesn't lay on soil. It's laying on some thin mulch. And that helps.
I did get some mulch that was recommended by the nursery that I bought it from. So I've got, and one of the questions I had on the mulch was, do I just leave that on top of the soil or do I want to turn it into the soil a little?
No, leave a thin layer on the top so the fruit lays on the mulch. That'll help you with preventing slugs and snails. It'll help you from diseases easily getting started on the fruit and all that. It keeps the sunlight from burning out the carbon in the soil, you know, once you get into hot weather and all that. And that's it. Fertilize. Look at the formula that we have for Garrett juice on my website on dirtdoctor.com and spray the plants with it and drench the soil with it. And then you can use it as your only organic fertilizer if you want to. But buying a dry fertilizer, organic fertilizer to go along with it would make the fruit production even better.
Okay.
Keep an eye out for slugs and pill bugs and, you know, little creepy crawlies.
We don't have too much of that here. It's basically a desert environment.
Well, that's good. That'll make it easier for you to grow what you're trying to grow there.
All right.
Take some pictures. Let me know how it works out.
I will do that. Did you have a moment for the second question?
Yeah, what was your other one?
Well, my wife bought some of the, I guess they call them Italian eggplants, so the long, thin ones.
Uh-huh.
And she planted them in a large fiber pot with the bagged dirt that they recommended with it. And she had four plants, and our cat chewed on them. And the question was, should I just throw them out or should I, they're still living, but they're chewed way down. And I just need to know, should I throw them out and start over with new plants, or would it be okay to let them develop?
Well, you can plant them and drench them with garage juice and see if they come back. What kind of plants were they again?
The Italian eggplants.
Yeah. Drench them with the garage juice and spray the top as well and see if they'll come back. Being stressed like that, they may or may not, but it's worth a try. And in the meantime, plant some new fresh ones as well. Little transplants are not very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were fairly inexpensive.
Yeah,
All right, give it a shot. That's what I had. Oh, one last question. What kind of watering will these strawberries need?
Just don't let the soil get totally dry, but don't keep them sopping wet. Just kind of play it by ear. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, and I am making a change in my pet food recommendations to Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, and gluten, and they're naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor is loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, prebiotics, and probiotics. My dogs Carmen and Tater love the change. I feel strongly that you will, too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store and go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Crazy water is so good and good for you, it's crazy. Crazy water is what I drink, and you should too. Deep underground, Mother Nature infuses crazy water with the perfect mix of over 11 dissolved minerals for the health of your body. You can get all the crazy water you need at HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and find a store in your area. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy water, so good, it's crazy.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings.
Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I've been doing a quick search on, for several breaks now on this Carolina jessamine toxicity. There's a lot of information, including university information, that is scary sounding, saying that every part of Carolina jessamine is toxic and very dangerous and yada, yada, yada. And some people are saying it is very damaging to bees and other pollinators and things like that. There's at least some beekeepers that are logging, that are weighing in, saying that it's overblown, it's not a big deal, that the bees will stay away from it. And so there's a lot of controversy about it. Yes, there is toxicity. How many people and how many insects and so forth have really been hurt is unclear. One person made a good comment that if you're going to eliminate the Carolina jessamine, you need to eliminate a whole lot of other plants that you may have in your garden, like azaleas and rhododendrons and things like that, that are also toxic if you ate the nectar of the, or if insects ate the nectar. The insects, and it's one of nature's ways of balancing things, will tend to stay away from plants because there's poisonous plants all over the place out there, and eat the ones that are good for them. It's how things have developed over time. So it's up to you. I do have some Carolina jessamine. I don't use it a lot, but I'm not quite as concerned about it as some people seem to be. Don in Red Oak, Texas, next up. Hey, Don.
Hey, Howard. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you, sir.
I've got an issue with some chinch bugs. I got your bug book out, and I put out some dry molasses Saturday, but I was leaning towards spraying it with orange oil. What ratio orange oil to water would you use?
About 2 ounces of D-limonene or orange oil per gallon of water. But you are you sure it's chinch bugs? Have you seen them?
Yeah, I had a little black bug with the white wings on the back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but couple... also, the little ones, the when they start out small like that, do they kind of have a brownish tail on them looking thing?
Not that I know of.
I've seen some little bitty black bugs as
that
well.
May be something, that may be something back. Else. Yeah, the young of chinch bugs look just like the chinch bugs, you know.
Okay.
incomplete
minerals.
Did
you say 3 ounces to a gallon?
No, about 2 ounces is about all you want to go. If you go more than 2 ounces of D-limonene or orange oil per gallon of water, you can burn some foliage. The other thing that you might want to try, Don, is natural diatomaceous earth dusted out during spray the liquid, and then when it's dry enough, dust the dry diatomaceous earth, and that kind of 1-2 punch will knock them out really well. The other thing you ought to do next year is put out beneficial nematodes when we're talking about putting them out when things are first starting to leaf out. The beneficial nematodes will help control them in the soil.
I see. Well, I'll try that next year, but I've got to deal with them this year.
Yep, it's a little late now.
I've got some peach leaf curl.
Okay.
I sprayed it with compost tea. I'm pulling them off when I see them and throwing them away. Anything else I can do? I understand there's nothing else I can do with that.
Well, that's what people say about Rose Rosette, too, and I would use the same techniques on that, Don. Spray with Garrett juice, but add to the Garrett juice, replace either 8 or up to 16 ounces of the water with hydrogen peroxide from the grocery store. And that's, you know, you can do the entire sick tree treatment, and it's even better. I would recommend that highly, and I'll bet you anything that the flares aren't high enough, you know, above the ground. And that's part of the sick tree treatment is getting the trunk flares exposed. But the spray is Garrett juice as a base with hydrogen peroxide mixed in, and it will it'll cure that and any other disease, whether it's viral or bacterial or fungal.
Put any cornmeal on the ground.
Wouldn't hurt a bit, because you're going to stimulate beneficial fungus there and help the stimulation of the general biology in the soil, and that's going to help the plant be able to fight off things on its own.
Right. So spray with Garrett juice, and how much hydrogen peroxide per gallon of water?
Well, it's one of those things where we need more specific research. Our anecdotal evidence is that we're getting results as low as 8 ounces of hydrogen peroxide in a gallon of spray, up to about, you know, well, I tell you what I did yesterday. I sprayed some plants that had some little issues that were popping up with straight 3% hydrogen peroxide with a little Garrett juice mixed into it. In other words, really strong.
It not diluted at all, yeah. Okay.
It did a funny thing to my hands. Back in the day when I was doing some research in Vernon, Texas, on some oil fields that had been, the soil had been dead for 75 years from salt, you know, from trying to reclaim these wells and spilling the salt water out on the surface. We experimented with all sorts of things to try to grow grass again, and we were successful using the organic program. But one of the things we used was concentrated hydrogen peroxide. And when you got it on your hands, it would burn your hands white. It would feel like water at first and then start burning later. Well, yesterday, spraying the 3% stuff mixed with hydrogen mixed with Garrett juice, I got that same feeling on my hands. It's almost like the Garrett juice intensified the power of the hydrogen peroxide. So be a little bit careful. My point is, be a little bit careful not to overdo it and burn foliage.
Right. Okay. Howard, I appreciate it. Have a good day, sir.
Appreciate your call. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. That's 2 hours of show with you, and I really appreciate it. It's been some good stuff today. We'll try one more hour at 866-444-3478 if you want to call me. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor.